All right, welcome to Chicago Open Mic. I'm your host, Ian Ellis. Today I'm joined by my true blue, Miss
KB Marin. What am
I? Happy Corner Podcast. Shout out, blah, blah. 2020, all flex, no breaks.
Exactly.
I just dropped the mixtape volume 11. Clap it up.
Yeah.
Everybody get excited. Woo! Normally I put like the best 20 minutes first, and the last five minutes will be great, and everything else in the middle will be kind of like, that's the stuff I liked. This one's a slow burn. It doesn't start out great, but there's some great stuff throughout as you go along. I'm now working on the mixtape volume 12, and it may have to be a double album, because I want to do this stuff about enlightenment, but I'm also just going to be thinking of funny stuff, so I might be recording two different things at one time. One of the funny things I wanted to make into a bit recently comes from Mike. This is a bartender here at Josephine's. And we were talking about politics the other day, and he said, this generation might be the first generation that's more conservative than the one that came before it.
What I said was there might be more closed-minded. In the history of man, old people are always closed-minded and young people are always open-minded. Mm-hmm. But because of technology, it's very possible that these kids aren't looking up stuff the way everybody else did in every other generation. They're just going to CNN or Fox or wherever they go to and staying closed-minded about their beliefs. They're not...
They're going and they're getting, like, confirmation bias immediately.
Yeah. They're creating and opinions in a vacuum.
There you go. Making it in a bubble.
You said it much more eloquently than I did.
Yeah. They're the first generation to make liberal fascist.
Yeah.
Like, they're liberal to the point of being scary.
Yeah.
That's what I was pulling you over here for, Mike.
Okay. I'm glad he clarified that, though. Because conservative and close-minded are two different things.
Yeah. So, KB, there's a new podcast coming out. It's actually out. There's about three episodes. And I can't wait to make fun of it. I'm with apologies.
Tell me, what it is?
Now, this is two comedians, Bill Burr and Burt Kreischer. And they've created a show called Bill Burt, where the two of them sit down and have a conversation. There's about three episodes out. I haven't watched the frame. I'm waiting to watch it with CEO. I can't wait. We're just gonna tease them live. Here's two things you need to understand about this situation. Okay. Burt Kreischer and a lot of these LA guys have been making podcasts, specifically video podcasts, as pilots to try and sell in pilot season. Now, Burt Kreischer had Cooking with Burt, where he invited comics over and he would cook food with them. It didn't get picked up.
Of course it didn't.
So this is his next venture, and now Hollywood Bill is getting in on the podcast for NBC game.
Okay.
That's the first thing you need to understand.
All right.
The second thing is, Bill Burr does not respect Burt Kreischer.
I could see that.
They did a New Year's show at the Comedy Store with Joe Rogan and Doug Stanhope, and they came in and they behaved with each other in accordance with their pecking order. So Doug Stanhope was the big dick, and then Bill Burr, and then Joe Rogan, and then Burt Kreischer, and then whoever else was there. I think Tony Hinchcliffe made an appearance.
Gotcha.
Bill Burr is a dickhead to any comic that he looks down on.
Okay.
He won't do this with other people, but with comics, he looks down at them, and he does this weird thing where it's like, he feels like it's okay for him to have fun, because he knows that he's righteous and right-minded.
Okay.
But if other people are having fun, and like doing stuff that he thinks like, I don't know if that's ironic enough or not, he calls them out, and he SJWs comedians for being too mean.
What do you mean? That so you got an example?
He did this on Kill Tony where they were making fun of a comic that went up and Bill Burr turned around and sunned everybody on the panel, Tony Hinchcliffe, Brian, and whoever the fuck the other guy was, and was like, no, you guys are dickheads. You don't understand. You're being mean. You're hurting feelings. You might scar this person for life over here. What the fuck are you
Ain't
doing?
Ain't that the point of the show, though?
Well, meantime, who's homeboy from
the
real...
Wait, it was Kill Tony, right? Ain't that what they do?
That
don't they roast
that's
the joke?
That's their wheelhouse.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Who's homeboy from the real world? We saw him over
Theo
at the
Vaughn.
Theo Vaughn. When Bill Burr went on Theo Vaughn, he was ruthless and beat the hell out of that poor boy. And told him, maybe one day when you're famous, you'll understand what I'm saying to you. And just completely sunned him.
Okay.
So it's going to be interesting to see, how does Bill Burr, who hates Burt Kreischer, deal with overcompensating, laugh at everything Burt Kreischer who is the biggest Hollywood dick suck in the entire goddamn industry.
Is he?
I'm excited. Something's gonna happen. Careers might be ended. What happens when it don't get picked up?
Well, I don't know about all that. I just know that I'm kind of tired of that whole L.A. podcast scene. Like
the Joe Rogan Mafia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, get y'all money, do y'all thing. You know,
Tom Segura, what are your thoughts?
You know what? I think I saw him by accident. I think he had a Comedy Central.
My wife loves him.
Comedy Central half hour, maybe, or something like that. It was really funny. And then I watched another special after that. His first, I think, 1 hour, and that was really funny.
He's very deadpan and looks just like Zach Galifianakis.
But
every time I see him, I'm like, oh, has that got a new thing? Oh, no.
But the last thing that I saw, I was like, your wife is rubbing off on you a little bit too much.
Christina P., another Real World alumni, allegedly fucked Theo Von. Some bad blood there.
All right.
Christina P. has a show, and this new Ari controversy has been going on.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Ari dosed Bert Kreischer. And so
his wife
is now going on shows and crying about it, about how irresponsible it was. Do you know what he gave him?
What?
He gave him Molly.
Yeah, I heard about this.
You've taken Molly.
Yes, I have.
I've taken Molly. It's one of those rare drugs where I feel completely in control of myself the entire time I'm on the drug.
Right, right.
I feel like me, but I feel amazing at the same time.
Yeah.
If you can't function on Molly, you don't do drugs.
How did he know he was on Molly?
He told him. He's like, this is what I gave you.
Wait.
And Bert started freaking out and thinking he was going to have a heart attack, which means he's a pussy that doesn't do drugs. Anybody who does drugs, if you give me something and you tell me what it is, I'm like, all right, let's write it out.
Well, that was the whole thing about, I don't give really any fucks about that whole scenario, but the whole, like, I was trying to figure out who this dude was, and then I found something like he was in an article, like, the biggest partier in the nation or some bullshit like that, and all I kept thinking was, like,
the National Lampoon movies are supposed to be based on Bert Kreischer's life. That's based on his life story, that he's the party animal that didn't leave college. He's the machine.
Yeah.
Takes his shirt off.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Delicious titties.
I'm trying to figure out, like, what...
You know that bosom.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, what... How was he the ultimate partier? Like,
you never took ecstasy, pimp?
Yeah, like
your old ass didn't take some ecstasy.
Like, you know, like he be acting like he's scared. Like I listened to one of them, and he was acting like he was too scared to like smoke weed. Like, so I was like, the ultimate party.
You in
like,
recovery, maybe, Bert? Huh? Party like, animal?
Yeah, maybe our partying is
you
different.
AA, bro?
Maybe our partying is different.
That sounds like some pussy ass partying to me.
Yeah,
that sounds like someone that'd be like telling you they smoke weed. And, but they're making up what it's like. Like, they smoke some pencil shavings. You sell them some pencil shavings, and they smoke it, and they be like, man, that shit got me tore up.
I did that to
a girl. I can't believe.
I did that to a girl.
What'd she say?
I did, there was this wine that tasted, it was like a sparkling red wine or whatever.
Fucking sparkling cider?
No, it's a sparkling red wine. It was really good. And one day I was in college, and I was at the hall getting something to eat, and I mixed some grape juice and some Mountain Dew, and it tasted just like the wine. And so what I did was, hey, I took the bottle and filled it up with Mountain Dew and grape juice.
You mixed it down,
and then I gave it to her. I was like, hey, yo, you want this bottle of wine or whatever? And she was drinking it or whatever. And I'm watching it because I'm over here drinking, like actually drinking. Me and all my friends are just laughing because she's acting more and more drunk. But she's drinking fucking Mountain Dew and grape juice. That's Bert Kreischer.
That's Bert Kreischer.
He's the dumb bitch at the party.
He's all the way up. His laugh is so obnoxious. You have to sit down and watch anything he does and how much he overlaughs at everything. Which, I get accused of this on With Apologies.
I've listened to his podcast.
I laugh to kind of keep the energy, but he like belly laughs just because he thinks there's the beat of comedy. There might not have even been a joke there, but if it felt like a beat, so two more things.
Go for it.
Legion of Skanks.
Oh yeah.
As you know, I'm beefing with Luis J. Gomez.
Has he even said anything, man?
He's aware. He's liked some of my tweets. He's actually said things based off of things I say on my podcast. So thanks for downloading the podcast, Luis. I'm glad you're listening. Keep paying attention. I'll teach you. I'm coming to New York, Luis. Dante, Jim Norton. Get your whole crew together. We could either meet at the bar or meet in the streets. Find me where you find me.
Hey, if there is a person that should invest in hair transplants, it should be Jim Norton. He looks weird as fuck.
He looks like a lesbian. He was on Joe Rogan talking about...
Call the guy that did Sebastian Maniscalco's and get you some hair plants.
He was on Joe Rogan talking about sucking dicks as a little kid. He said before he was 10, he had 5 sexual partners, and kids would bully him, and they would make him suck his dick, and he would suck a dick, hoping they would fuck him in the ass.
What?
And Joe Rogan's just laughing, like, nonchalant. And this is like, dude, you got molested. Hardcore. That's... That's not normal. You need therapy for that.
Yeah, dude, who does that?
Little boy's pissing his mouth. Go find his bit called Monster Rain. Anyway, Luis J. Gomez. What I learned about him is that he's very thin-skinned about... He's very insecure about being a comic because he knows he's trash. So, first he was crying about, ain't nobody ever do nothing for me. Oh, it's a hard knock life for me. It's a hard knock life for me. And then in the same breath he says, as a first-year comic, Big J took him on the road. Ain't nobody do
Get
nothing
the fuck
for you.
Get out of here, bro.
While he's on the road with Jay, which he should be sucking his dick to say thank you, he asked Jay to look at his set and give him notes. And Jay is brutal to him. Gives him hack court. Straight up and down. This is trash. This is played out. This is hack. Rewrite this. Mm-hmm. He's now a 14-year comic. So for 13 years, he's still mad about this. To this day, he feels like Jay was wrong to be brutal toward him.
To help as him a get first better?
He says, Jay destroyed my confidence. He could have taken me out of the comedy game. He could have ruined my dream. I could have gave up on my dream because he was so mean to me.
The fact that he's whining about it instead of saying, hey, on my first year.
Instead of being thankful.
Yeah.
Grateful.
But.
So, little baby Luis, I decided to play hack court with his comedy. Mm-hmm. Pulled it up on With Apologies. We watched the first 6 minutes of his set. Mm-hmm. Pulled it apart, bit by bit, line by line. This is garbage, and this is what you're doing wrong. Lane clipped that up for the Ian Ellis LLC YouTube channel. Everybody should go check out. And somebody posted that in the Legion of Skanks subreddit. Mm. Now, their subreddit is about 5 people's long. It's 5 of them. Diehard Lewis fans. They're very mad at me. They think that I'm jealous of Lewis. We need to create some new vocabulary for you guys to, like, understand. Like, not everybody that hates you is jealous. I was telling you before this, like, I just saw Lil Wayne on the Drink Champs. And what I love about him is he truly doesn't give a fuck. And not just meaning he doesn't give a fuck about the haters. He doesn't care about the haters. He doesn't care about the praise.
Yeah.
He doesn't care what other people are doing. He didn't know who the Migos were. He didn't know Eminem had an album out. He didn't know who the fuck Bono was.
He didn't realize 21 Savage was one person.
Didn't know 20... I made the same mistake. I for real thought it was a group.
He said, they're taking...
I was like, I love their song.
21 motherfuckers in a group.
This is the new Wu-Tang? And it's the new Wu-Tang. As the bird sings. As Toys was saying. Lewis does give a fuck. He gives so many fucks. He gives too many fucks. And he's too bitch made for the big boy pants that he's trying to wear. Because he's trying to be Mr. Don't Give a Fuck, Still Don't Care. You understand? Lewis is out here. He's the only person defending Ari Shaffir. The only one. He's making memes. Comic shall not kill comic. This is a sin. You comics should be ashamed of each other.
Why you clout chasing, bro?
He trying to be in it. But, Lewis, you're not built for the hate that would come along if anybody cared enough. Like, SJWs only go after people that are successful.
Yeah.
He doesn't have enough to lose. So you can scream all you want. You might ruin outer space.
I didn't even know he was doing that until you just said it. And I stay on Reddit and I stay, like, plugged in.
Which I liked a couple of Lewis things because he had a couple funny takes on it. I got a struggle in my brain to remember one. You guys, I'm real quick while I try and remember Lewis's funny tweet. I give up. I can't remember. Sorry, Lewis, you weren't memorable enough. Be more memorable. Anyway, we'll be going over that on With Apologies. We'll be reading your comments and making sure your voice is heard. And we're going to tease you guys for being a bunch of lemmings that follow a fuckboy. You fell for that? That was your barrier of entry?
Oh,
he's the realest thing you ever heard? Y'all need to come hang out with us for a little bit. CEO gets this a lot where they're
gurgling balls.
CEO has haters where, like, they've just decided he's not funny because they don't like one thing he did. There's a guy called Hostbuster. He's Jewish. He doesn't like that CEO made some anti-Semitic remarks for the sake of comedy. So CEO is just unfunny because he don't like the Jews. But he loves me. Hostbuster.
CEO doesn't like anybody.
No, this is about Hostbuster. You're being disingenuous. All right? CEO is funny. And if you don't recognize that, then you're not on the side of funny. All right? So quit fucking playing these games like he ain't funny or they ain't woke or this, that, or the motherfucking other. Be fair. Be honest. KB, you got anything you want to plug? Happy Corner got a new Patreon.
Yeah, Happy Corner is up. Check that out.
Clips coming.
Yeah, clips coming.
What's the YouTube channel?
The Happy Corner Podcast. And then follow us on IG at the Happy Corner Podcast.
And you got shit popping off with, God damn it, the photographer. I'm so sorry.
Nelly, yeah.
Nelly, I'm so sorry, Nelly. I love you. My brain is mush right now.
Yeah, KB's Unpopular Truth. Coming back. I'm writing it right now.
All right, y'all. What's it going to be tonight? Jokes or enlightenment? Doubles.
Next, moving on. The plot deepens. You guys, you're nice comic. He's a really nice guy, and it's set that on the list. Make a bunch of noise for my friend, Ian Ellis.
Matt Lauer. Have you guys heard about this? One of your 5 minutes of jokes about Matt Lauer? If you laugh at mine and not his, he might kill himself. Like, I own the Matt Lauer bit, Ian Ellis, you son of a bitch. A round of applause. How many of you are enlightened beings that walk the earth?
Yeah.
One guy. And he's the one that was talking about Matt Lauer. The rest of you just had better shit to do? Buddha was like, you could be made out of peace and happiness and butterflies and puppy dogs and shit. Or you could do anything else with your time. You guys chose anything else. You're like, you know what? This Xbox ain't gonna play itself. I don't blame you. Because I was an atheist for a long time. And I was militant. Don't even dare ask me to join a prayer circle. If we gotta pray before we eat foods or enter an establishment, the rest of your night is going to hell. The rest of your night is me telling you how you're a dumb piece of shit that needs to learn how to use the internet. But we gotta pray before Six Flags. What's gonna happen? Satan gonna loosen the bolt? Shut the fuck up. Waffle cones and roller coasters. Relax. Satan ain't here. Tell you how this happened. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, my parents got hoodwinked into being Christians. They got tricked by Karen. She's my neighbor. She's a blonde bitch, but hey, big titties. Delicious, my dad fell for it. My family started going to church. At 8 years old, it didn't make sense. I was like, if this is true, wouldn't everybody be doing this? You're telling me the whole world doesn't believe this is true? Because this is pretty goddamn serious. And then puberty hit. And church became a way for me to hang out with beautiful young bitches. And I became very serious about my faith. A young lady named Russell, Mary Russell, she's delicious. Boy, did I want to hold her hand. Walked to the ends of the earth for some smooches with that bitch. I was in love with this young hoe. So I gave my life to Jesus. I repented for all my wicked ways at 13. Oh, I knew I shouldn't have stolen this Snickers bar. Ooh, I'm a piece of shit. Please, Jesus, take me back. I know I'm awful, but please, I promise I'll be good. I won't cut and lie no more. I'm such a piece of shit. And I became a Christian. Wonderful. And then the internet happened. And I found out that Christianity might be full of shit. So I started going to my pastors with questions. And I was like, hey, what about this, that, and the other? And they were like, you're asking too many questions. And I was like, no. The conspiracy cannot run this deep. Are we all reptilians? You knew and you didn't tell me? Turns out they just didn't feel like defending their faith. And that's why I became an atheist. Believers ain't shit. The only time I like them is when they're new converts. Because that's when they're like enthusiasm and honesty is at peak levels at the same time. When you're just getting into some shit, you're looking into it earnestly. There's still time to back out. Once you've been in there 3 or 4 years, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to your talking points to defend it the way you believe. And it's not just religion. It's libertarians and atheists. They're all terrible. Turn into my beer push hall.
Sure.
So the reason I stopped being an atheist is that I encountered enlightenment. I wasn't looking for it. It just happened to me like a car wreck. I was just going along and it ran the fuck into the side of me. And I was going along, I was riding in the back of a car, and next thing you know, I was floating around in outer space. As far as I could tell, I was just an orb of light, an eternal being made out of light. To an atheist, this is terrifying. I was relieved that we still exist, but I was like, I did not make the right decision. I'm not excited about what happens next. Nothing happens next. You're all fine. Here's what I learned floating around being in space. We all have these needs, right? You need to feel loved, safe, and accepted. These needs don't need to be met. They need to be healed. You don't need that shit from other people. Just fix it up in yourself. Especially if you're like a dumb bitch named Stephanie and you're over there crying about some piece of dick doesn't want you anymore. Suck it the fuck up. My wife has slit her throat to look like you. And you feel like your whole life is over? Over Villa Park penis? When you topped out in life, that's the best shit you're ever gonna get? Suck it the fuck up. My name's Ian Hollis. I love you. Good night.
Yeah. More time for Ian Hollis, everybody. Yeah. By the way, Ian, I'm an atheist. We believe in orbs and space and floating and light and all that stuff too. So you can have both if you want. You don't have to. Cool.
check. Mahogany dashboard, I do the dashboard. Gas to the floor, I'm pressing fast forward. I race a NASCAR, transport just what you asked for. Don't ask me what I asked for if you can't answer. Now who them Zans for? I pop dance for muscle relaxation. I'm a patient, pick up the pace when I feel too adjacent to who I'm racing. Yeah, I'm spacing, I'm spacing out. Oh, you faded, I'm faded out. Oh, you made it, I made it out. But you shed it like 8 Mile, 8 Ball from Orange Mound. Lead down, I lead down like an eagle. She spread it out, ate it out, yeah, I ate it out. I'm a Libra, I wear it out. Hope the Reaper don't take me out. I'm too eager to wait it out. Stuck the heater and stayed in my pray. Police don't raid the house. Pay my taxes and baby moms. Ain't no capping, no play around. Hit me back, then they hit me now. In my lap is your face. I got napkins to waste. I got matches with gates. Feel like I'm NASA with space. Don't feel like answering my phone. I feel like thrashing today. I put my ratchet on safe and I feel actually safe. Catching spasms and aches from all the hands I done shaking. All the cash I done counting, all the blunts I done rolled up. I stunned when I rolled up with a bad bitch sitting in the front with her nose up. You know what's in my soda, and your trap house closing. Your glass house broken, and my madhouse open, and my lighthouse glowing. Mahogany dashboard, do the dashboard. Mahogany dashboard, do the dashboard. Mahogany handle on the gun in my hand, boy. Brains all over my mahogany dashboard. Mahogany dashboard, I do the dashboard. I think in my backyard, I need an airport. Mahogany sand, boy, I start a sandstorm. Mahogany skin touch me, I cut your hands off. Mahogany door handle to match the floor panel. Mahogany sand, mahogany Dior sandals. Mahogany dash slime, I do the dash slime. Sit the coke on the glass slime, she's not a flat line. Good times, no hard times, uh-oh, it's that time. We at war, I check my Chappelle for the exact time. Bang, bang, for that time, I'm reppin' Fab Five. Black high, red, 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 bloody vampire plug. What the fuck on the rabbis? No cap slime. Judge gave me time, I did that time like nap time. Mahogany skateboard, I parked the rate for it. I kick, push straight forward, I hear Lupe flowing. Under the skull of these bright mahogany dreads showing. Let's get in bed and break these mahogany headboards. Whoa, mahogany. Whoa. Mahogany dashboard, I do the dashboard. Mahogany dashboard, I do the dashboard. Mahogany dashboard, I do the dashboard. Yeah, I do the dashboard. Mahogany handle on the gun in my hand, boy.
Brains all over my mahogany dashboard. Louis mahogany bags for the back boys. Louis mahogany bags for the back boys. Soon as we land on mahogany sand. Mahogany sand. Louis mahogany bags for the back boy. Soon as we land on mahogany sand, I ain't arguing, I'm saying. Ooh, mahogany.